isn't it? Let's praise God until our voices are gone, and let Him replenish us, and let us keep singing His praises. Amen?
Amen.
Join us in prayer. Father, thank You for calling us here. And Father, I thank You that You're greater than circumstances, that You're greater than any challenge this culture, this world has before us. But Father, Your strength, the joy that we find, I pray, God, sustains us this hour so that we can praise Your name until we feel like our voices are gone. But we trust You to replenish our souls with song and Your spoken word. And I pray it transforms our lives so we may brag on You and give You glory and praise throughout our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you're a guest of ours today, especially welcome to you. And as we ask many times, could you do us a favor and introduce yourselves to us by filling out just this little back part of the worship folder. You'll find that as you enter the worship center. Hopefully, if not, our ushers can get you one. Just attach that and fill that information out. And Ridgecrest family, if you would, you can fill that information out as far as like prayer concerns and prayer needs. Our staff would love to partner with you on those prayer needs throughout the week and just put those in there, and you can give that back to us during the worship, the offering part of our worship, or better yet, you can go to our welcome center, both our guests and our members. You know, it's out that door. Look to your left. We have a gift bag for you guests with information about who we are as a church family. We'd love to see you there afterwards and give that to you in person. Now, Brother Tim, you're going to lead us and continue to lead us in worship.
Thank you.
really singing and giving it all they got. You know how? You know how? Because those veins right there, they kind of want to start protruding a little bit, you know? So I hope your veins are protruding a little bit as you sing, because that lets me know when all you're giving it all you got. You know, he's worthy of that. He is. He's the reason we come together to worship, folks. Isn't he? He's the reason, and he is worthy of so much more. So much more. So much more. You think about your life, and you think about where you were before you came to know the Lord. All of us were destined for hell. All of us were destined for hell. And you know what? We all deserve hell. We all deserve it. But Christ loved us enough and was willing to come into this world to die for us on Calvary's cross, and through his shed blood we have forgiveness of our sin. That's something to celebrate and to be excited about, because we have an eternal home in heaven if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So come, now's the time to worship, and I want us to worship like we never have before. Let me challenge you to do that, okay? Let's give our best. Let's don't give him the leftovers. Let's give it all to him today, okay? Let's worship. Come on, here we go.
Come on. Now it's the time to worship. Come. Now it's the time to give your heart. Come. Just as you are.
Join me in prayer. Oh, Father God, you are so holy, and what a privilege it is to gather today in worship and lift our voices in praise to you. God, and now as we continue our time of worship, we are thankful for the opportunity to give back. We're thankful for the opportunity to bless others and also for you to bless us. God, and I pray that we give and worship with a joyful heart. And may our offering be a sweet aroma to you. And we'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
right, take your Bibles and open up to Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. And thank you for the great music, choir, and orchestra. Fantastic this morning. And thank you for singing out like you did. Excellent. And I hope you're excited about not just worshiping in song, but worshiping in the Word of God. God has a message for you today. And I appreciate you coming out in the cold weather. I'll tell you something a little bit funny. I was walking down earlier this morning down the long mission hallway, and two of our young fellows came up from behind me, and I didn't know that. And they said, "Hey, Pastor Ray," and I turned around, saw them, and I began to have just a little bit of a conversation with them. And they were in their coats, of course. And I said, "Hey, guys," I said, "so what do you think about this cold?" I said, "Are you cold?" And they both looked at me and said, "Nah, not really. We're from Baltimore." Well, that's perspective is everything, isn't it? I remember when I lived down in Florida, in the Tampa Bay area, when we'd have a weather drop into the 50s, snowbirds in our area that would come down from the north, they'd be out on the beach, and we'd all be bundled up in our homes in the 50s, because when you live in Florida long enough, your blood turns to orange juice. And it certainly did. But thank you for being out this morning in the coolness of it all, and being in God's house for the warmness, hopefully, of God's Word. Let me mention a couple things to you before I begin. You see on the front of your worship folder our emphasis on Prove the Tithe, February 10th. It's become a very important Sunday for us each year, and I'll be talking more about that as we get closer, but you'll read a little bit about that in my column. You'll be getting a letter from me in the not-too-distant future. And you'll take that very serious. Some of you will begin to tithe for the very first time in your life, and you're going to find out something that those who have practiced it for years have discovered, and that is you cannot outgive God, and you'll discover the blessing of God's care in all things. But that's Prove the Tithe Sunday, and that Sunday I'm asking everybody to do something, whether you do that as a practice or not, on that Sunday tithe. And it is amazing what God will do with that. And then I want to mention something because we've been asked about it. Our Sunday morning broadcast on WDHN has moved. Some folks, we've been getting a lot of phone calls and questions about why our broadcast is not on. We were on from 9 to 10 in the past, and we are now on 8 to 9. A much better hour for us, because that way you can watch us and then you still got time to get to church, okay? Now, not the first service. You folks, it doesn't matter to you, I understand. But our new schedule, television schedule, began at the first of the year, is 8 to 9 on WDHN every Sunday morning. And then, of course, you've already seen an insert in your worship folder about life and how important that is, and Chuck will say a word about that at the end of the service today, but today is Sanctity of Life Sunday. Why do we value life? We value life because the Bible says that God created man in His image, and that's why. And I read an article, I think I even mentioned it in my article this morning, that they now know that a heartbeat can be detected as early as 18 days into the pregnancy. What a phenomenal thing. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, the Bible says, and it is so true. And we know that. Of course, just Friday was our grandson's 4th month anniversary, and so the whole world has been celebrating. He is so smart. It's amazing. They sent us a video yesterday. He's actually holding his bottle himself. He's writing letters. He sent me a letter this week. He is reading now, and he has already learned to ride the bicycle. He is a remarkable kid. What are the chances? You know, what are the chances? Well, in all seriousness, life is precious to God. And because of that, life is precious to us. Hope you have your Bibles open now to Ephesians chapter 5. Hold your spot there. We're going to look at our third message in this series on how to have the best year of your life. As I said at the beginning, I will reiterate through the end of this series next week, that these four principles, I mean, work. I know they work. I built my life on them. And if you will practice them this year, you will have the best year of your life. Why? Is it because I like these principles? No, it's because God likes these principles. God created these principles. And because of that, they work. They always work. Robert Moffat said this. He said, "We'll have all eternity to celebrate our victories, but only one short hour before sunset to win them." J.C. Penney said, "If a man's business requires so much of his time that he cannot attend the services of his church, then that man has more business than God intended him to have." R.A. Torrey said, "There's more joy in Jesus in 24 hours than there is in the world in 365 days. He said, "I know, I've tried them both." Dale Carnegie said, "Remember, today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday." Carl Sandburg, the author, said, "Time is the coin of your life. It is the only coin you have, and only you can determine how it will be spent. Be careful lest you let other people spend it for you." And an unknown writer wrote these words, "Wasted time equals wasted years, which equals a wasted life." And so today, with that in mind, I want to give us a third biblical principle on how you can have the best year of your life, and it's all about time. Now, God is above time. In fact, time is irrelevant to God. That's why when the Bible says, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, I'm the same today as I was yesterday and will be tomorrow." Time, God is above time, but we are not. Our lives are lived out in a day-to-day window that God has allotted to us. And it is the reason that we must use our time for the purpose that it has been given to us for. And that's the point of the text that I want us to look at this morning. If you're physically able to do so, stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word. Just three verses here, beginning in verse 15, chapter 5. Paul writes and he says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for this principle, this next principle, God, about how we are to steward our time, to manage the time that you have allotted to us, that you've given to us to use for your glory. You've put us here. You put us here with a finite amount of time, and you have purpose in that. Let us understand our purpose. Let us steward our time, and let us fulfill the purpose for our creation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. Now, this passage is not talking about how to gain time. It's talking about how to use time. And it points to the importance of time and the limitations of time. It's talking about our responsibility to redeem time, the time that God has given to us. And it is about seeing the agenda of God in relation to time. I asked you this morning, have you ever surrendered your schedule to God? You know, we started off talking about, have you ever surrendered yourself? I mean, and that's an ongoing process. We have to do that on a daily basis. And then we talked about surrendering our service to God. That is recognizing that He has gifted and talented us in a certain way, and those gifts and talents we're responsible for to use. But did you know you're also responsible for your clock? Did you know you're responsible for the time that God has allotted to you? In the book of Acts, it talks about David, and it says that David served God in his generation. I love that phrase because it is a reminder that we have a limited amount of space, but that space is to be devoted to God. You can't live for God in the past. You can't live for God tomorrow. But you can live for God today, and I want to tell you something. If you'll live for God today and you'll use your clock for God today, it will affect your tomorrows and certainly your eternity. And so that's why this principle is so important, and I think it's one of the reasons that Paul was urging them to be wise about how they use their time. And so with that in mind, I want to give you four things this morning about time that will help you steward that time and help you manage your time for the glory of God, and I believe help you have the best year of your life. The first thing I want you to notice, found in verse 15, he says, "Look carefully how you walk." That is the consideration of time. Look carefully how you walk. You know, each day that we have holds 24 hours. That's 1,440 minutes. It's 86,400 seconds, and every one of those are precious, and they're a gift from God. Time is something we feel we never have enough of. Hello? Yet, we give it away so easily. Someone once said this, "Time is free, but it's priceless." You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. But once you've lost it, you can never get it back. So time is precious, and its limitation should cause us to consider how we use it. And that's what Paul's talking about. Paul says it calls for wisdom. It requires wisdom to know how to walk, because we only have a limited amount of time to do that. And the word carefully there in the Greek can also be translated as the word accurately. In other words, we must accurately consider how we are living against the backdrop of time in our life. Our perspective on time, you see, will affect the way we live. And this truth actually reveals to us that there are two kinds of people, if you will. There's the unwise person. He later on talks about not being foolish, and I will discuss that with you. But there is the implied truth of the unwise person. And that's the person who doesn't give time or eternity any thought. They're thoughtless and careless with the stewardship of their schedule and the clock. The unwise person gives little consideration to being a steward of the time that God has allotted to them. They just kind of get up in the morning, they go to work or go about their daily routine with little thought about God and about what happens beyond this life. And if they happen to make a mistake here or there, it doesn't matter much to them because they just simply chalk it up as being human. In fact, the unwise person thinks that they will be accepted by God or whatever God, if there is a God in their minds, if they just live the kind of life that seems fairly decent or honorable or maybe useful. And besides, they occasionally tip their hat toward God now and again. That's the unwise person. The unwise person's not concerned about watching every step. They're not concerned about being alert to every temptation and all the pitfalls in life. They could care less about struggling and trying to get life right. You see, living a careful, accurate, disciplined, controlled life is not even important to the unwise person. And so they squander the time that they've been entrusted. But then there is implied here, there's also a wise person. You know, the wise person, they know God personally. They know that they are on earth to live a righteous and a godly life and to bear testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when they get up in the morning and when they go about their routines during the day, they're seeking to walk in the presence of God. The wise person considers that their time, their day, is an opportunity for them to honor God, to live for God, to carry out the purposes of God, to walk in the will of God. And mistakes matter to them. In fact, everything matters to them because they understand that they are here to live for God. The wise person not only considers their walk, they try to watch their steps. They know that God's clock is running, and that what they live for matters and has eternal consequence. And it reminds me of something that I read as I was working on this, a message from a book entitled Time for God. And in that book, they have calculated mathematically how a lifetime of 70 years compares to hours in a regular or routine day from 7 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock at night. Listen to this. This is what their calculations revealed. If you are 15 years of age, the time is 10:25 a.m. If you're 20 years of age, the time's 11:34 a.m. If you're 25, it's 12:42 p.m. If you're 30, it's 1:51 p.m. If you're 35, the time is 3 p.m. If you're 40, the time is 4:08 p.m. If you're 45, the time is 5:16 p.m. If you're 50, the time is 6:25 p.m. If you're 55, the time is 7:34 p.m. If you're 60, that's the only age, interesting, isn't it, that it goes all the way back to 10 in the morning. No, it doesn't. If you're 60, the time is 8:42 p.m. If you're 65, the time is 9:51 p.m. And if you're 70, the time is 11 p.m. He didn't go beyond that for the rest of you. I mean, I think that means you're living on borrowed time. But at any rate, have you considered how you walk with how much day you have left? Have you considered how you're using the time that God has given you? because we all have a limited amount. But then our passage teaches us another truth that I want you to see in verse 16, and that is it talks about the prioritization of our time. Not just the consideration, but he says in verse 16, not just to look at how you walk, but he says make the best use of that time. In other words, the Greek idea is to redeem the time. It means to purchase the time. The prioritization of time in this case is not about rearranging the items on your schedule. Okay? It's not about rearranging what you got to do, though you may need to do that. But it is rather about surrendering your schedule completely to God. Charles Hummel, who was a Christian author and the former president of InterVarsity Christian Ministry, wrote a wonderful little book I read years ago, and a new copy of it came across my desk recently. And the book is entitled, it's a small booklet, it's entitled The Tyranny of the Urgent. And in the book, Hummel begins by asking a question: have you ever wished for a 30-hour day? You ever wished for a 30-hour day? He goes on to say, our lives leave a trail of unfinished tasks. But would a longer day really solve the problem, he asks? And then he says this: when we stop long enough to think about it, we realize that our dilemma goes deeper than a shortage of time. It really is a problem of priorities. You know, the statement that Paul makes, making the best use of your time, is what we call in the English language an idiom. That literally means that we should approach time with urgency and intensity and priority. It doesn't mean we have to panic about time, but it means we ought to urgently understand the importance of the time that we have. In other words, you should use your time for the things that count ultimately. It's about urgently stewarding and managing the clock of your life. And, you know, it's a bit ironic if you think about it that most people plan for everything in life, don't they? Except for God and for the ultimate matters of life. God tends to get the leftover energy that we have instead of the priority energy. And frequently, God, who has given us our time, gets lost in the clutter of our time. And subsequently, he gets what we have left. And that's a problem, isn't it? Because God wants us to understand that we're here to do his bidding, his work, his will. And the statement that Paul makes here of making the most use of your time is really a statement about determining what is priority in your life, and with the implication that your schedule is a reflection of a life that should be in tune with God's purpose and plan. So how do you get in tune with God's time? How do you get in tune with God's clock? Well, let me give you four ideas that will help you get in tune with God's clock and God's schedule for your life. The first is this: ask God daily to give you an eternal perspective. Ask him, God, give me an eternal perspective. I prayed that already this morning. God, would you help me to see the big picture, the eternal things? Give me help me see the day as an opportunity for you. The second thing to do is to think about why God created you. I mean, to really contemplate that God put me here, God designed me, God created me the way I am, with the good and the bad. God wants to use it all for his glory. God put me here for more than existence. Now think about that. God put me here for more than existence. That means every second of my life has meaning. Every hour of my day has purpose if I get this. And so you want to get in tune with God, think about why God has created you. Third, if you want to get in tune with God's agenda, be anxious about nothing and pray about everything. Those were the words of Paul. Instead of getting worked up over how much you've got to do, start the day with God and let him show you what the priorities of the day are. You know, we do a lot of times, we try to work God into our schedule instead of letting God help us define our schedule. Well, if I have time, I'm going to get, or I'm going to try to squeeze God in here or squeeze God in there. Listen to what John Wesley said. He said, I have so much to do that I spend several hours in prayer each day before I'm able to do it. Martin Luther, the reformer, great reformer, said this. He said, I have so much to do today that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Wow. Now, I'm not telling you to start your day with 3 hours in prayer. But how about 3 minutes? How about starting the day with God and letting God adjust your agenda? And by the way, you'll start with 3 minutes and it'll grow. If you will, start with Him. Be anxious about nothing. Pray about everything. We do have a lot on our plates. We do have a lot of things to do. But let's not let God get the backside of that. Let's let God set the priority of our day. And then fourth, remember, God has given you all the time you need to do everything He expects of you. God has given you all the time you need to do everything that He expects of you. But in everything you do, you should do it to honor Him. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And then he wrote again in Colossians 3:17. This is a theme, you see, because he repeats it, not just with the Corinthian Christians, but with the Colossians, he says, and whatever you do, in word or in deed, in everything, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we are to redeem our time. No matter where we are to redeem our time in the workplace. Wherever God has put you in the workplace, look for ways that you can honor Him and how you use your time. Be the best employee you can possibly be. In our classrooms, we are to redeem the time. In our homes, redeem the time. Look, in our cars, on the circle, we are to redeem the time. Don't curse the darkness. Redeem the time. And in our community, you get it, don't you? You see, redeeming the time is, you say, well, I'm not in ministry, Pastor. I can't. Oh, it has nothing to do with that. Paul was writing to people that weren't in vocational ministry. He's writing to the church. And he was saying, redeem the time. God has given you time. Look for opportunity and ways to live out the will of God in tune with the plans of God and to maximize the time. You've only got so much. And at the end, what you want, like all stewards, here's what we want to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. You see, I gave myself to God, I gave my service to God, I gave my schedule to God, and one day I want God to be able to look and say, you are a good steward. Paul said that we strive to be stewards of the grace of God and the gifts of God. And so that's what it means to prioritize your time. And if you do this, you will steward your time. And listen, you'll have the best year of your life. You'll be more productive probably than you've ever imagined. Next, the third idea that I want you to see in our passage this morning is also found in verse 16, and it is the motivation of time. Notice why he says. He says, walk carefully, you know, give attention to how you live and how you operate because the days are short. Make the best use of your time. The days are evil. I think you can already see that, that this isn't a message about how to plan your time. It really isn't a message. It goes much deeper than that. It's about the motive that should shape our time. The Greek word here for evil is poneros, and it means morally corrupt or immoral. He says we're living in a day that is morally corrupt. They were living in it in the first century. We're living in it today. It is morally corrupt, and because that is true, it is so important that you and I demonstrate the light of God and the love of God. That's the motivation. Evil and immorality abound, and we face it every day. So we're in an age of opportunity to reveal truth and light and love from God. And our opportunity to redeem the time is going to pass soon. It's going to pass soon because the days are evil. So while we can, we must do all we can. Until we can't. That's why Jesus says we must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. It's about time management, isn't it? It's about the motive for our schedules. as believers, we are to make the most out of whatever time it is. And we're all on a different clock there, right? It is a clock that has been fixed in heaven for us. And so we're all on a different clock. And because that is true, it is all the more important. You know, we sometimes think, well, I'll take care of something on down the road. Look, your clock may not take you on down the road. So that's why every day is a precious day and a precious opportunity for us to use that time for God, because it's getting darker out there. Would you agree with that? It's getting darker out there. And that's why Jesus said, look, the night is coming, and when the night gets here, we can't do what we've done. We can't work for the kingdom like we've worked for the kingdom. Use that time now. In Jeremiah 8:20, there's a sad statement of regret by the people of God before God would discipline them. Listen to this. In Jeremiah 8:20, the people of God said this: the harvest has passed. The summer has ended. And we are not saved. What a sad statement of regret. The harvest is past. The summer has ended, and we are not saved. We're not where we should be with God. There's a spiritual urgency with regard to our lives and our time. You can't serve God in time past, but you can use the time you have right now, motivated by the hour that we're living in, to walk with God. Your now matters. Your right now matters. One of my favorite quotes from a theologian, R.C. Sproul, said this. He says, right now counts forever. Right now counts forever. Some of you may know the name of Adoniram Judson. He's considered by many to be one of the forerunners of what we today consider modern missions. But he sweated out Burma's heat for 18 years without a furlough. And he lived there for 6 years doing mission work without a convert. He endured torture. He was imprisoned. And he admitted on one occasion that he never saw a ship sail away without wanting to jump on board and go home. And when his wife's health broke and he put her on a homebound ship in the knowledge that he would not see her for a full 2 years, he confided these words in his diary. He said, if she and I could but find some quiet resting place on earth where we could just spend the rest of our days in peace. And then, however, he says, as he steadied himself, in his postscript he wrote, but life is short, and millions of Burmese are perishing. I'm almost the only person on earth who has attained their language with the ability to communicate to them salvation. Now you say, Pastor, is that what you're asking us to do with our time? Or you asking us to pack up and to go someplace like Burma and live there? Well, I'm not asking everyone to use their life like Judson did in places like Burma, though some should and some must and some will. But what I'm saying is we must have that same kind of intensity. We must live with that same kind of urgency that understands that the message of God matters, and that we are to use our time for His mission and to get His message to the world wherever we are. Whatever venue you are in is a place that God has put you until He tells you to be in another place. And so that means your time in that place matters to the people that you'll interact with and the people that you'll intersect. And we must do that with intensity until there is no time left to do it. Time is short. The days are evil. So give your schedule to God. And then last this morning, I would show you this truth from our passage, and that is the education of time, the education that comes from time. Look at verse 17. He says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Therefore is a key word, because therefore means look at what he has just said. Look, what did he just say? What's he talking about? He's talking about living wisely. He's talking about living carefully. He's talking about giving attention to how we walk. He's talking about making the most of our time. And so Paul says, if that be true, he said, then we need to understand what that means for us personally. And we must be educated by the time, the darkness of the day, and the fact that we are to use our time for Him. Jesus in John 17, 4, that's His what we call high priestly prayer. He makes a remarkable statement. He makes a remarkable claim. He prays this. He's talking with God. He said, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Isn't that an incredible statement? Jesus lived on this world, in this world for 33 years, but about three of those years were focused on the prime mission and purpose of God. And He could say before He died, before He was crucified, Father, I've glorified you on earth, and I have accomplished the work that you gave me to do. It's a remarkable statement because it is a reminder that we too have an amount of time, and in that time we can glorify God on earth and we can accomplish the purpose that God has sent us to do. You've been entrusted all the time you need to do all that God expects. And Paul is saying that only a fool would use their time, their clock, their life, their schedule by living outside of God's will. And Jesus, on a number of occasions, made it clear that He did not come down to accomplish His own agenda, but rather that He came to use His time to carry out the will of God. In John 6, 38, Jesus said, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of the one who sent me. In John 8, 28, Jesus says, so Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. He made it clear that He came down with an agenda. That agenda was the agenda of God, and He had enough time to fulfill it, and you do too. You see, God wants us to be educated about our time, and God wants us to be educated about how that interacts with His will. You see, I think the smartest people in life, and for that matter in eternity, are those who got smart about their time. I mean, for God. And if you want to have this great year, if you want to have the best year of your life, you're going to have to give your time and your schedule back to the one who gave it to you in the first place. Do you get that? You're going to have to give it back to Him. He's the one who gave it to you to start with. So let Him be Lord of your schedule in 2019. Let me close by telling you about a man some of you may have heard of, some of you may have read of, some of you may know about. His name's H.L. Hunt. He made millions as a Texas oilman, and he was an aggressive businessman with little regard. By the way, his family later made multiplied millions in silver. But he was a very aggressive businessman with little regard for time. And he had what he considered a kind of executive confidant on his team. The man's name was John, and he might call John any time during the day, including the middle of the night. If there was something, he was aggressive kind of business guy, if there's something that's on his mind, or he may pick up the phone in the wee hours of the morning and call John and say, I want us to do this, or we need to do this, or that sort of thing. And one night at 2 a.m., he picked up the phone and he called his assistant, John. And he excitedly declared into the phone, John, I just made the greatest trade of my life. John said, what would that be? And he said, I traded the here for the hereafter. John, I just got saved. Now listen, this morning, we don't know what our clock is in heaven, but we have one. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, let me tell you what the Bible says. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, the wisest use of your time would be to give your life to Jesus Christ. To trade the here for the hereafter. You see, remember, the here only has a window. You only have a window. And really, isn't it true the older we get, the faster that window seems to speed up? You only have a window. but you have all eternity if you give your life to Jesus Christ. Now, like H.L. Hunt, I think that's a deal that you can't refuse. And so I want to urge you today to be a good steward of the clock that God has given to you. If you've never given your life to Christ, to give it to Him today. Would you do that? Will you pray with me? In fact, why don't you stand? Would you stand? And join me. Father, thank you that when you created us, you created a clock for each of us. And Father, we are to be stewards of that clock. But we can only align ourselves with the purpose that you created us for when we give our life to our Savior Jesus. And Lord, there are people here today that they're not aligned with you. They believe in you. They're not hostile at you, but they've never given their life to Jesus. Help them today to do that very thing. To come and recognize you love them and say, I want Jesus Christ to be my Savior, my Lord. In fact, with heads bowed and eyes closed, you can do that right where you are this morning. The balcony, the ground floor, you can pray a prayer in your heart that goes something like this. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Today I give my life to you. I want to use the time that you have given me for the purpose that you created me. Thank you for forgiving my sins, coming into my life and being my Savior. And I can tell you, if you prayed that prayer, He heard your prayer. And He has promised, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Today you just received Him as your Savior. Now would you obey Him in obedience? Some today in this place, you need to renew the clock of God in your life. You need to realign. You know Him. You just need to realign with His purpose for you and the time that He has given you to use it for His glory. Wherever it is, whatever you do, wherever you go, wherever you are, there are others in this place today, and you know what? You need to align your life with the family. You need to connect with the people of God. You do whatever He speaks to your heart about, but He is speaking, and I want you to hear His voice and obey that voice this morning. For we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. In just a moment, I'm going to step down here. Other staff members are going to be here on the side. And I want to invite you to slip out, to come and confess Christ. If you prayed that prayer just a moment ago, don't be ashamed of Him. You slip out. We're not going to embarrass you, but we want you to come and confess Him to one of us so we can get some information and help you begin this wonderful new relationship with God. And I'll be here. Other staff are on the sides. Come to any of us. You may be here this morning and say, you know what I really need? I just want to talk with the Lord. I'm praying about some things. I'm praying for some people. I'm praying for some decisions, whatever it may be. Come and use the altar on the sides here, around the way. That's what it's for. Put it to use. You may be here this morning and say, I need a family to belong to. I need a church home, and I want Ridgecrest to be that church home. I invite you to slip out this morning. Come and say, I want this to be my church family. We'd love for you to join us here. We're not perfect. I'm not a perfect pastor. But we're a healthy congregation that loves God, is trying to align ourselves with the will of God. We want you to join us in that. Would you do that? Are you ready? Well, today we've been talking about how to be a steward of the clock of your life. All of us have only a certain amount of time that has been given to us by God. Time is a gift to us from God because it relates to His will, and that relates to our life and living out of the purpose that God created us for. And so it's imperative that we be good stewards of the time of our life. And the way you begin that journey of stewardship and purpose and meaning and for your life and God's will is by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you've never done that, why don't you do that today, right where you are? Call on Him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And right where you are in your heart, you can offer a prayer to Him that goes something like this. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I receive you into my life. I know you have a purpose for my existence. I want to live out of that purpose, and I want to live in out of my relationship with you. Thank you for coming into my life and being my Savior. Now, if you'll pray a prayer to Him, something of that sort, I promise you He will hear that, And he'll help you begin this wonderful new life of being born again and being transformed for him. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation, and the old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Now, you'll see some contact information on the screen in front of you, and we'd love to help you in this new relationship. If you'll contact us at that information, we'd love to send you some growth material. It's free. There are no strings attached. We want to get you moving in the right direction. And so let us know about your decision to trust Christ. And then to all of those who are watching, some perhaps are looking for a place to worship, a new a church home, or you've never connected with a church, we'd love to invite you to attend here at Ridgecrest. On Sunday mornings, we have two services. We have an 8:15. We call it a blended style service. It encompasses both praise and hymn, choir, orchestra. And so that might be stylistically to your liking. Or perhaps you would prefer a more contemporary venue. At 10:50, we have what we call our live service. It is very casual. It's band-driven, very relaxed. That may be more to your liking. My message is going to be the same in both services, so we'd love to see you here at one of those. If you do not already have a church home, come and visit with us here. Also, you can visit with us online. We'd love to see you stop by our website, www.rbcdothan.org. A lot of information about the ministries here, events that are going on here, times, schedules, all of that can be found at our website. And then, of course, you can connect with us through podcasting and live streaming, video on demand of messages in the past. All of that is there, so I hope you'll check it out. And of course, by all means, follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We're there, and we keep an active presence on those social media outlets. So I hope you'll like us there and follow us on those as well. Well, it's been a joy to have you tuned in today. I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. It has been a great joy to share it with you. I look forward to doing that very same thing again at this same time on this channel next week. Until then, may God bless you.